Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome along to those in the hall tonight, and a welcome to everybody on the internet tonight. So just as usual, when we start off, I just wanted to remind you all that the care line is open tonight. There is a listener up in the house ready to take your call. So if you're feeling the need to talk to someone, or you want to just ring and get something off your chest, you'll be very welcome to call in. The lines will be open here until 9 o'clock Western Australian time tonight. And just a reminder too that you can always call from anywhere, really anywhere in the world. There's a WhatsApp number that should be on the screen there underneath underneath the picture that you're watching on the internet, and you'll be able to get through to the care line. So that, again, that'll be open till 9 o'clock tonight. So too, I'll probably just as another little announcement, I would probably just like to remind everybody too that there is a care group retreat that's going on the 3rd, the 4th and the 5th, which is not this weekend, but the weekend following. So Friday evening, Saturday and the Sunday. So anybody that would be interested to do that, it's a little exercise over the weekend of really learning to listen, just developing listening skills and really looking at the aspects that the care group have to offer. So if anybody is interested in that, there probably is still one or two spaces that are left there if you are interested in coming along. It's down at Jhana Grove, opposite our Bodhinyana Monastery. So anybody interested, just give the office a call tomorrow and you'll be able to find out all about it. So tonight I would like to just start the talk and or just maybe give a little bit of an introduction, really, just to the way of living with this, the rhythms and the cycles of the world, the universe. And from my perspective, I mean, this has been very important to me over the years to learn just how sensitive one can become to the way that this universe is works with us and the way we work with the universe, because it is always a two-way process. The universe is certainly affecting us, and but in turn, we too affect the universe. In fact, when we're doing the meditation tonight, in maybe a half an hour or so's time, I would like to just run through this again with you, just in the way that, in effect, you can get to the point where you see that this universe, in the way that it sort of expresses itself in this present moment, is really there with us all of the time. It's really quite a powerful insight to see and understand the way that that works. But that really comes mainly when you kind of start to get an idea of just what this present moment really is, and the way that the consciousness of stillness presents itself in your mind. And of course, that's what we're really trying to learn all the time, trying to learn and to practice all of the time here, is to be present in the moment and to find that place of stillness. Because as you start to appreciate, as you're looking at all of this, you realise that this place of stillness in your mind is the place of transcendence. This is actually the point that the Buddha was pointing to ask us to look at this, to look at this point of transcendence, to really to just to be able to see exactly just what consciousness is. And we can do that, and we'll sort of certainly try again to, as I do most times that I do this here, whenever I give a talk here, I do try to bring this idea of the still consciousness into the meditation, so that you can have a very good idea of just what it is. Because this still consciousness is very important, and it really allows us to be present all of the time. And that's really what we try to practice in the meditation. We try to practice to make our minds steady, relaxed, and have the mindfulness such that we can always know just exactly that we're with the present moment. We're actually in a way trying not to allow ourselves to get lost in the movement of the universe. I mean, when you look out of here, when I look out at you and you're looking back at me, we're kind of, we're looking, always seem to be looking externally. But I mean, this is the big question to ask, is it? Is all this external or is it internal? You know, we can start off just really by asking that question, as esoteric as it might sound. You know, whereabouts is this universe? Is it really true that it's out there? When I'm looking out here, is that an external universe? Or am I creating that in my mind? And for you, when you're looking back at your universe, you're seeing me and the other people in the room, you're looking at them and you're kind of, we're certainly conditioned to see it all as external, but is that true? Is that the way that it is? And it's kind of living with these rhythms and the cycles of the universe and developing that mindfulness there into the present moment that allows us to really challenge this question, to look at this question and see just exactly where this mind is. Because we know, you know, it's no secret to tell you that the Buddha has already told us that the mind is inside. I mean, he said that he'd found everything that he'd ever taught, in the whole of his teachings, he said he was able to see what he could see inside his fathom-long length of body. So he wasn't looking out. He wasn't looking out into the universe for the answers. In a way, you can sort of see that. It's like, you know, you get the telescope and you're looking out into the universe, as the physicists and the astronomers and so on do, which is, it's a wonderful thing to do. I mean, I've been an amateur astronomer myself over most of my life. I kind of love looking at the stars. But you can get to the point as to which end of the telescope should you look into? Should you look into the little end and look out into this, what is apparently the external world? Or look back in the other way and see who it is that's looking, to understand who it is that's looking at the universe. And you'll find that when you start to turn your mind around to sort of see things from that way, even if it's not kind of readily, you know, believable even to sort of think of it that way, but just to give it a try. And as you do, you're kind of making yourself relaxed, you're making yourself comfortable, and the more relaxed you can become, the more still and fine your mind can become, the more clarity that's there. And then you're really able to start to understand that your mind is really a very powerful thing, a very powerful instrument. So then you can ask, you know, well, where is your mind? You know, well, certainly most medicos and people these days sort of tell us that the mind is the brain. Well, you know, I know that that's not true. And there's certainly meditation practices. You only have to go with Ajahn Brahm for one of his jhana retreats where he's kind of teaching jhanas, and you'll soon see when you deconstruct yourself in that way that the jhanas will show you very clearly that the mind is not your brain, because your brain can drop off very quickly. So working with all of this and learning how to understand it all and to just to practice to be with it is really very important. And that's the importance, I think, of tonight's topic. Just this way that we can listen to the rhythms, be with the rhythms of this universe, so that we're kind of bringing the whole idea of the rhythms and the cycles that are going on all of the time. I mean, it's a wonderful time of the year just right now to, you know, be up early in the morning and to be able to, listen to the birds, because they start sort of tweeting now really very early, you know, 4:15 in the morning, and the birds are already telling you to wake up because they can sense that the light is coming. And certainly by 4:30 or so, the light's already there in this time of the year. It's a really quite wonderful how the rhythms of the seasons just work like that. And as you kind of keep watching and being with all these seasons, you know, in 6 months' time when it's dark, you know, and dark right up till, you know, maybe 7:30 nearly. So the world is always changing. These rhythm, the rhythms of the seasons are just beautiful to be with. And every season has its own charm. It has its own beauty. You know, whether it's the winter and the winds and the way that the rain comes, and really quite beautiful to be with and to experience. And then, you know, the autumns and the springs, when they're coming along, and the summer times, just to be with and just to feel what that's like in your body, just to feel what those seasons are doing to your body. So you've got these rhythms, and then, I mean, that's you say the rhythms of the seasons as our planet kind of revolves around the sun. But then there's also the rhythms of the moon, just watching the monthly cycles. You know, you can start to do that, certainly as the Buddha used to do in his time. I mean, the whole of the calendars were always then predicated on where the moon was. So he'd have his the puja days and that on the full moon days. And just sort of experiencing what that's like too. And I mean, we are all affected by the moon, just by the way the tidal influences of it kind of pull the earth and pull the tides onto the earth, making them full and contracting and being full again, and then ebbing and flowing all of the time. But all of that really too is happening inside your bodies, because your body is also just being affected by the pull of the moon. Certainly the monthly cycles that's very prominent in with our female population, but also with men too. That's the same sort of thing that happens there. Not quite the same, but I guess you know what I mean there. And but just being able to be mindful and be somewhat aware of just what's happening there with the way that the earth and the moon and then certainly the sun. I mean, the sun is a star. It's a fully fledged star, and that sun is such a powerful. Well, I mean, we wouldn't even be alive without this sun, the sun that we've got. The sun is so we're so dependent on it, so dependent on its rays and on all of the little individual kind of particles even that come out of the sun. And the way all of that works, we're all dependent on the way that is. And then, you know, even as you're just thinking of your own body and just the elements in your body, as I've mentioned here a couple of times and over a few weeks, just mentioning that where all the elements of your body comes from. They all come out of the stars. You know, there's, as far as I know, every element that's heavier than iron is made in the centre of stars. In fact, they're all made in the centre of stars, but I think that humanity can, we can cook some elements, but anything beyond iron on the periodic table is something that comes from space. It's the debris of supernova explosions from stars. So all of this has been happening apparently for billions and billions of years, and all of these elements, the elements that are in our body, they're all there, just right. And I mean, it's been happening for a long time, but when we start to come into the presence with the present moment itself, and start to think of the wonder of that, just in the way that the present moment contains really all of that, the present moment contains the beginning and the ending, really, of all of that. It's just there. But how do we kind of approach that? How can we be with that? And we do that by kind of developing this relationship with the world, with this world, being able to ground ourselves into this world. I mean, even just now sitting here, can we feel, you can feel, the way that gravity is sort of gently pulling you to the earth. I mean, we're not floating off into space or anything like that. The gravity, the force lines of gravity are there holding us in place. And all of the earth and the sun and the moon, all of that too, is all being held in its proper place in the way that this universe is formed, all dependent on each other. This dependency runs right the way through, and we're dependent on the way that is. But you can start to appreciate that and understand that as you start to just let yourself relax into this present moment, just to see the magnificence of what it is that we're all involved in here, just the mystery of it too. Because really, I've got no idea necessarily of what it all means. I mean, I suppose we can create any meaning we want from all of this, but this is just really the way that it is. In fact, I was just really thinking about this today and sort of trying to write something down, but the idea really becomes, you know, as you become more attuned to the present moment and you can notice how everything is happening in the present moment, that the reality of this movement that's outside there is really only apparent. There's no reality out there, no reality in the past. You know, we kind of say this quite often, don't we, in meditation, there's no reality in the past, it's gone, it's finished. And anything that's coming up in the future, well, it's just in the future. It's not come yet. The only reality that we've got is this present moment right now, and that's the way that it always is. This reality is right now. So what happened yesterday was maybe a reality yesterday, but not anymore. It's gone. It's finished. Dead. You can remember it. You can bring it back, and maybe even use it in a way to sort of make skillful choices right now. But the fact is that everything's moved on from yesterday. The universe has moved on. Everything has moved on. This universe, our bodies, this world, it's all in this constant movement, this constant state of flux. It's moving and it's changing. And it's all dependent on all of those things that physicists try to help us understand, you know, like special relativity and general relativity theory, all of that, you know, where they can balance all of these movements of things out to bring it all back to the truth of this present moment. You know, the reality that really, when we're looking into all of this, the we can see that the impermanence is there, the movement and so on that is there, but the reality, though, is only really, the reality of all that is just really right here in the present moment. Now, just even thinking about that is really quite profound, isn't it? When you start to think of just this present moment containing it all. I mean, for each one of us, the other thing too, it's really quite confusing, but again, just wonderful to sort of contemplate and to be with as your mind, as your body relaxes, and your body allows your mind to relax, and then your mind can develop that clarity, that simplicity, so that you can just sort of see through without the clutter of the blur that we seem to have all the time between over the present moment, between the past and the future. You know, all of that starts to become quite clear, and you see the reality of just what this present moment means, and just what it means for the universe, and just where this universe really is. So all of these things they're so interesting for me anyway when I think about them. I hope that's the same for you. I mean, I think you think about, there's a little thing that I was just looking at today. There's a, a thing in physics called Hooke's Law. Hooke, I don't really remember his given name. But he always had this idea of what he called a sympathetic vibration. And that's kind of not unlike what I'm talking about here, really. Just the vibrations that we can go to get involved with are really can be quite a sympathetic situation. But what he said is if you take a board, just one board, and you put a pendulum on each side of it here, and you set the pendulum swinging, and you set them so that they're not swinging together, but eventually, because of that, this cycle here, those pendulums will eventually start to swing sympathetically. Now, it's just the way that nature works with these things. And I know that even, say, the SEC, our State Electricity Commission, when they've got these big generators running down in their power stations and so on, take advantages of Hooke's Law there. They put these big machines, these big generators on the same plinth so that eventually these generators will be running in sync, you know, rather than sort of running, out of sync. They start to, after a while they'll run in sync. And when they run in sync, it saves the money. And the generators work more efficiently too, though, because one is sympathetically helping the other. So these kinds of little things are there in the world and in our being all of the time, these little sympathetic vibrations that work like that. And I just I just think about these sorts of things too, when you... Certainly with animals and so on. I mean, because I think I'm always sort of on about this. I think we give us animals such a bad time in this world. You know, we kind of abuse them really quite terribly, really. But animals themselves, you know, they're really very... you can sort of develop this sympathetic vibration with animals. Certainly if you've got pets, if you've got a dog, you can see that. Coming back to a husband and wife, you know, a husband and wife will kind of get into sync with one another too. And even just, I remember doing exercises once when we were learning listening skills, actually, but we were kind of looking, just practicing by just looking into each other's eyes. And when you do that, it's quite powerful, actually, just to do that, to look into someone else's eyes. And you're looking deeply into their, you know, if you're both looking and you're kind of interested to look, it's pretty hard not to, you know, to be really empathetic and to feel just what that other person is and is about. You know, you really do feel that love, you know, a loving feeling that's there. Again, you know, a sympathetic vibration that is there happening for us in these little rhythms and cycles that are happening all the time. So, those sorts of things are really, you know, quite wondrous, I reckon, to, just to investigate and look at. And it all sort of brings you back to this mindfulness of the present moment, just being able to be to allow your mind to be present with the stillness that's there, because that stillness that's really right at the heart of the present moment is really that stillness is really what brings us all together. I mean, there'll be other things that sort of build up in our consciousness more than the stillness, build up into bigger aggregations than just the still consciousness. But that still consciousness is really what is there for all of us. It's a bit like the space in this room. You know, the space in this room connects us. So, you know, whenever I'm thinking of still consciousness, I'm thinking that it can be, you can see it that way, just as the consciousness of stillness, or you can look at it as emptiness. That's the Mahayanans tend to do that more. They kind of like to see their Dharma more that way, from seeing it from the perspective of emptiness, but also spaciousness as well. I mean, the whole even in this room, the space in the room is there, and the space is connecting us. But as you look into that space, as you look out there, the still consciousness is, the stillness is there. The consciousness of that space is there as we look out, as we look out into it. And you can sense it inside yourself. If you just, even now, just allow yourself to relax and close your eyes and just listen, not worrying so much about the sound of my voice, but just listening and experiencing just that moment, you can sense and feel what stillness is like, just the way it resounds, the resonance of it. It's right there, and it's connecting all. It is a it's what it does. It is what makes us all one, really. The consciousness is there. It's the it brings us all together. But yet, at the same time, we are kind of separate individuals, because what we do with that consciousness is really down to ourselves, really. Each one of us has our own life, has our own way of seeing this world. The way to see that, I think, is to certainly, we've got the same, the still consciousness is there. That's very much a part of us all. And I don't think the still consciousness for me would be experienced probably too much differently from you. But what we add on, what we build onto that still consciousness, the way we aggregate onto that still consciousness, this is really where you start to, where we start to become more independent and personal, personalised. So you can see the still consciousness. You look at this in the way that the Buddha talked about the five aggregates, which I quite often like to talk about here too, because you come from the fifth aggregate of still consciousness. And then as consciousness aggregates, as it builds to start creating things, it's first of all, it starts to move. This is the fourth khanda, the fourth aggregate that the Buddha talked about. So consciousness will eventually move, it moves from that stillness. And once it's moved, it's already different. It's starting to develop its, what I call its fungibility, because still consciousness can shape and change itself to whatever we want, whatever we desire, really. And then as that movement progresses further and builds and changes, or builds and aggregates, then we start to develop a perception of what it is that's moving. And that perception is individual for each one of us. And then it moves on from there, from perception, and certainly in with us as humanity, it kind of moves on to feelings. So the second khanda is feelings. You can start to, feelings are relatively easy to feel, although I have sort of noticed over the years, though, that sometimes people do have a hard job identifying what a feeling is. Let's say a feeling compared to, say, an intellectual thought, because we do have that ability to, the way that we've evolved, actually, we've got this sort of thinking brain, this intellectual brain, and we can intellectualise things. But in this Buddhist practice, it is very important to be able to feel things. So this feeling, the way that it sort of hits your stomach, the way that you feel, rather than getting caught up, too much intellectually with it, because we are a combination of these two things, the intellectual part and the heart part, the emotional part. And that emotional part is really, very important part for humanity, as the Buddha sort of recognised there in bringing that up as an aggregate, as a second aggregate. And then, of course, the first aggregate is rupa. So all of this moves from all of those four mental conditions of still consciousness to consciousness that moves to perception and into feelings. Those four states of aggregation are really still all mental states. But then, as the Buddha talks about, it fuses into rupa, this physical form. So, all of this is right there for us to see, right there for us to be with, to start to understand and start just to be with the meaning of what all of that is. And I started just to talk before about the about just what this meaning means, and just, you know, what is the meaning of life. But eventually you get to a point where you can sort of look into yourself and you sort of see the way that this is, and that question just ends up becoming sort of irrelevant, really, because everything is really right there in the present moment. And the meaning of life, in fact, really is the way that we kind of practice to understand just exactly what this process is, just exactly what this present moment is. Once we can use our life to practice in that way, and that means just what we're doing tonight, what we're talking about, being able to sort of ground ourselves, being able to be mindful of the way this universe is, to sort of to see inside ourselves just how we can relate more directly to this present moment. Once you start to really understand that reality is in the present moment, starting to understand how we can be with that reality, how we can, what it means to do that. And then that's when this still consciousness becomes so important in our lives, because it's something that's there all of the time. And once it's there, once you know that it's there, you can then use it as a datum in your life. So you use the still consciousness in this present moment to reflect on the movement. So then the reality is not so much in the movement, but the reality comes back to the present moment, the consciousness of the present moment. And that means that the present moment, then you're kind of watching the movement that's out there. And this movement is really, well, it's just, it sort of has different scales, doesn't it, too? The movement of the way things begin and end out there in the external universe. You know, you can watch your breath. Just watch your breath coming in and then going out. It takes that long. In and out, beginning and ending. It's a breath. But there's lots and lots of stuff going on to facilitate that breath, isn't there? There's all these little boxes within boxes, nested conditions that have built and are formed and are inside this box and that inside that box. It's like, it's just a compounded kind of process that's there just to do this much, just to breathe. Breath going in, breath going out. And it just takes that long, up and finish. So, and, you know, in terms of, I will sort of see this too in terms of the Four Noble Truths. So this, what we're looking at there is really the second and the third Noble Truth. We're looking at the way that dukkha begins and then ends. And you can sort of start looking at that at all sorts of scales. You can look at it from the way that, you know, a day is, and or the way that a week is, the way that a year is. A year, you know, begins and then it ends right over here. But you can, you know, we're aware of that. We know what a year is. It's starting to get a bit longer. But then we can look at a life. How long is a life? We know that we were born. Perhaps we don't remember much about the birth, but we're born right over here and we're maybe moving to a peak here, but then our life will eventually end. But where is it ending? It's all beginning and ending in the present moment, right here and now. And this is why, and maybe I'll just finish on this point, and we'll just try and practice some of this in the meditation, because I think that's actually more important to do that in the meditation, to practice what I'm talking about here. But the Buddha's verse, I always kind of like to refer to that too, verse 24 of the Dhammapada. You know, he says there that mindfulness is the pathway to the deathless. So just think about that. Mindfulness is the pathway to the deathless. So he's saying to be present, and it's the pathway to the deathless. Mindfulness is the pathway to the deathless. Heedlessness is the pathway to death. Those that are heedful, those that are mindful, do not die, he said. Those that those that are heedless are forever dying. So this is verse 24 of the Dhammapada. So if you just contemplate that, you can start to see the meaning of what it is to know what this present moment is, because once you know what that is, that place right between the extremes of the past and the future, the beginning and end, the beginning of the universe on one side, the end of the universe on the other, it doesn't really matter. It's all in this still consciousness. It's right here. We're watching it right. We can watch it right now. Resounds. It's resounding all of the time. But once we know that as a date, and once we know that as a point that we can sort of we can sit at and view the external world from, we're looking at things then around the right way. We're developing the right view, of the way things are, because we're seeing the way that the world and the earth and the universe aggregates and builds and moves and begins and ends. We're watching the second and the third noble truth all of the time, all of these beginnings and endings. But as we get closer back into the present moment and we're kind of just sitting with that still consciousness, well then we're really at a place that's, that is quite profound. It's the place of transcendence. This is the place where the Buddha was telling us to look. So just with those few words, I'll leave it there, and maybe we'll try and do a bit of meditation with that, and just with a view to, when we're doing the meditation, to just allow ourselves to try and bring some of those concepts into what we're looking at. So if I just maybe gently guide you through them, just the way that we can ground ourselves and be in the present moment, perhaps just over this period of time. So making yourselves nice and comfortable. So I always like right hand on the left, but just hold your hands really gently, not too tightly, so that you can sort of feel that there's a bit of a tingle there in your fingers. There's lots of nerve endings in there. So, top of the head just pointing to the ceiling, and closing your eyes, closing your mouth, just letting your tongue go up against the palate. And then just making that resolution that you're going to stay, just be with this meditation for the next half an hour or so. So we're going to start off with the four foundations of mindfulness itself. So the first thing we'll do is just being mindful of feelings. And this means mindful of feelings in the body. So bringing your attention inside your body. And when you're by yourself too, you can always linger or spend a bit more time doing this, because it is very important to just build up that idea of what things feel like, especially inside your body. For instance, now maybe just starting on your heel. Can you feel your heel? And then maybe just the whole bottom part of your foot, just the balls of your feet, can you feel those? Your toes. And then just bringing your attention up through the ankles and into your lower leg. Just stopping, just to feel around there. What can you feel in your lower leg? There's hard shins in the front there, and there's muscle at the back. Can you sense all of that? In the way that your knee is bent. And if there is any tension there, just let it relax. And then for me, just moving up through the thighs, you've got those, it's a feeling like of strength in those thighs and the muscles in your thighs. And then just the way that your bottom feels, is it sitting on its seat or on the cushion. The way that gravity is anchoring it down. We'll come back and look at that just in a moment, but just feel the way that you're just gently being held. And then moving up through your back, your lower back, and around the tummy. Just seeing if you can check in there and just notice any movement, because there's always movement going on in there. Little rhythms. And then up into the chest, where you can feel the rhythm of your heart. And you can even just imagine into that as well, just to come to terms with the amount of aggregation, the amount of compounding that evolution has taken to make this heart work and pump the way that it is, the way that, that it's got this rhythm going. The countless ways that all this is working, the building to work. Little nested boxes inside boxes. This causing that, that causing this. Everything dependent. And then moving up into your neck area and then feeling your arms, the way your arms feel down as they hang down by your side, bent at the elbows, through to the forearms, the wrists and the hands and the fingers. And just feeling the fingers around the, just feel the way that they're tingling. Notice that all those little movements. And I sometimes like to just play around with this just by taking a snapshot of that tingling, that, that kind of buzz of the fingers. Just taking a snapshot of what that feels like and then just overlaying that snapshot on, say, your shoulder. And just notice that really the same thing's happening there. Your whole body is alive with movement. Little cycles and movements. One thing causing another thing. But then the wonder of all this is when you kind of notice that the way that your body is tingling and in this state of flux, it just feels so beautiful. Because you can notice the the way that all of that tingling is signalling to you that you're relaxing, your body's relaxing, you're paying attention. Can almost feel sometimes like you're floating. Now automatically, because you are kind of relaxing and you're feeling your body relaxed, you can just start to go to your breath. And you'll notice it already, just as you watch your breath. I usually do it from the tip of my nose. So just being aware of the breath as it passes in and then passes out through the tip of the nose. But because your body's been relaxed, you can notice that your breath is also similarly quite relaxed. And I think it's always great just to reflect and feel with gratitude the way your body has been working for you like this all of your life. For me, it's coming up to 73 years now. Coming together, beginnings and endings. Second and third noble truths, all the little boxes inside boxes, wheels within wheels. What a wonder. And how beautiful. Just realising the splendour of just what it is that we're involved in here, just the way that this body has come together. But then just extending this reflection perhaps a little bit without coming yet to the still consciousness, but just to realise the way that this body with its breathing is just grounded into this earth. This body's part of this earth. All of the protein and all of the minerals, the water, all the components that keep it alive, they're all in the food that we eat, the water that we drink, and we can feel the way that we are earthed, the way that we're grounded. And right in this present moment, it can't be any other way than that. It's just the way that it is. We're dependent on the earth. And in its own way, the earth is dependent on us. And then we can bring our attention up to the bigger picture and just maybe look out into the universe, just in our mind's eye with your eyes still closed, just to imagine the sun, which is behind the earth at the moment. And the moon. And you can know that we're in motion around this sun. The moon is in motion around the earth. It's affecting us tidally as we speak. And you can start to see and understand that this present moment is so unique. And you can see why the past is gone and finished, because every moment, every millisecond, everything is moving and changing. Everything is different. We may feel like we're apparently who we are, but every moment we're changing. And the earth is changing around us. And we can look out further than the sun, look out into the universe itself, and feel all of those. We're called bosons, but the bosons that carry all of the energy right from the depths of the universe. Containing us all right here, right now. And just with that realization that it can't be any other way than this. In this moment, this universe, this body, this earth is just the way that it is. It's all connected. It's such an important realization to realize that it cannot be any other way. This present moment is just so unique, so real. So just allow yourself to come back to your breath, just to watch your breath. Feel it arising and falling, beginning and ending. And gradually you can just start to become aware of the stillness that's behind that breath, a still consciousness. Can you sense it, feel its resonance? the still consciousness, the way it begins and the way it ends so fast. For some it might feel or sound like it's sort of something associated with the ears. And that's fine if you can pick it up and sense it that way. But then just to realise that this isn't a sound. It has nothing to do with the ear consciousness. It's the stillness, the still consciousness of mind. And it's defining the boundaries of your mind, the matrix of your mind. Indeed, it's defining the matrix of the universe itself. So in a moment I'm going to ring the bell. And I'll do it three times, and just over the resonance of that resounding over those three strikes on the bell, just keep your eyes closed and just stay with that stillness. Then when the resonances are finished and you're opening your eyes and you're coming back into this room, just see if you can bring that still consciousness back with you. And just to know that that stillness is spaciousness, emptiness, and it's what's connecting us. It is the matrix of the mind. Sorry that I didn't realise I'd gone over a little bit of time tonight, but you all look like you were quite peaceful with all of that, so I hope that it was okay for you to do that. Is there any questions at all? Thank you, Corinne. Thank you. Oh, would you mind reading them for me? I don't really see so well, so I'm blindly taking the questions from there. Just in the
first one is
just speaking into, yeah, that's really good. Thank you.
Hello. So the first question is Anne from England. What advice can you give to a 60-year-old newbie to help move my practice to a stiller and deeper state? When my body nags my mind and won't sit well. So she can't sit well.
She can't sit well either. Yeah. Oh, well, welcome to the club, Anne. It was Anne, wasn't it?
Yes.
Anne. Yeah, welcome to the club, Anne. One thing about not being able to see well, at least that means that you're probably paying more attention inside. So that's always a good thing to have that ability. But, yeah, but if you're a newbie and you're starting at 60, that's really good. It's one thing about older age, it kind of, there's not, you know, you're kind of settling down in your life a fair bit, and you've probably you're not going to be so caught up with, not that there's anything wrong with being caught up in with younger minded things, but certainly the younger mind and the younger body certainly has a lot of energy that is always wanting to be used up in various ways and on various things. And happily, as you get a bit older, it's all of that does settle down, and you probably are more into a space where you're more able just to sit and contemplate with these things. So, I would certainly rely on that. I would kind of celebrate that for yourself. But with your eyes too, you might find Ajahn Brahm's always talking about this too. I think if you allow that still consciousness to be there, it might even be that you can maybe help your eyes or help your health even be more acute, more attuned, tuned up to what it can be for the age that you are. So I wouldn't have too many worries about that. But the main thing is just to, I think with practice really at any age, is really just to keep doing it, to keep trying and doing it over and over, because each time you do it, whether it's a good meditation or a bad meditation, doesn't matter. Well, if you feel it's a good meditation or a bad meditation, you might make those judgments, but in fact, they're all good meditations. Every time you're able to sort of sit and just be with yourself and bring yourself back into the present moment, you're doing yourself a big favour, because you really are then starting to, you'll gradually start to find and understand and start to be more with the reality of the way things are. So I hope that helps, Anne.
So the second question is from Daisy from Singapore.
Yeah.
She heard in a previous video that Dennis has experienced in past life hypnosis or regression. She wanted to ask you a question. Do you know of people who have memories of previous life in another non-earthly realm?
In another realm?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I have had experience with people, this for myself, with my own hypnotherapy practice. And, there's been people that have talked to me about that. And they've sort of discovered that in the hypnosis sessions that we've done. I think all those realities are possible. They're all those memories are for all of us. I mean, we've all had multiple, many, many past lives. Some of them are not so easily remembered. Actually, what happens with a lot of past lives too, though, is that if you've got this feeling thing that I was talking about earlier, the way that you feel, is quite an important thing, I think, in trying to remember, or if you are wanting to try and understand this a bit better. If you've got a feeling that's there, that's always a good hook to sort of pull out some sort of an idea. But you can practice this by yourself, certainly with the stillness. If you sit meditation and you make your mind very, very still, but before you start, just ask yourself the question you want to ask about yourself, you know, did I have a past life? Or if you've got a suspicion it might be something else, something specific, you know, you can ask something specific about it. Did I have a past life in Singapore, say? Well, then you can just put that question into your mind. You just ask it once, go into your meditation, make yourself very, very still. And then at the end of the meditation, just see what's there, see what's there in your mind. Just put that question back. What's the answer to that question? And the stillness will sometimes just manifest it there for you. So it's very interesting, really, all of these sorts of things. But you do need to remember, though, that past lives are gone. They are kind of not real anymore. They might have some interest for you in the way that you that might help a catharsis in some way if something is stuck inside. But you know, these things can be quite complex too. But I think the main thing, though, is just to really concentrate more on the stillness and just go deeper and deeper into that. And if there are little blocks that come up on the way there that are troubling you with that, well then, you know, just work with that. Work with that inside your meditation. Just see what you can do or what you can see with that. Because usually the answers are all there. They're all there in your mind. Because once that mind goes still like that, and certainly if you can get to a point where it's a jhana that's happening for you, then that stillness will be really quite profound to use in situations like that. So I hope that sort of answers that question from Singapore. What about anyone in the room? Anyone got any questions that you'd like to... Well, I do thank everybody for your patient listening tonight, and we have, I know Ron's brought over some wonderful goodies again for over there. We'd really invite everybody to come back and just join in over in the kitchen, and we'll have a cup of tea and we can continue the discussion over there if you like. And again, just a reminder that the care group line is still open. It'll be open until 9 o'clock tonight, and you're very welcome to call in. So once again, thanks very much. We'll just pay respects to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, and then I'll meet you in the kitchen.